Let's go to Numbers 19.
Were there only three feasts enjoined to observe in perpetuity? Tabernacles, Passover, and...
No.
All
of the feasts were to be enjoined in perpetuity. But the pilgrimage feast had to be at the point, a place appointed by the Father.
Okay. Even the secret log feast?
What?
The secret log feast?
Yeah, that was
that a pilgrimage?
Log Bar Omer.
The ascension feast. For everybody. That's what I call ascension.
The log lady feast.
Well, and that's not a good one. Go to Ezra. I want to show you what. There's a place, I'm trying to find the typical place of it. Ezra 7. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. First and second.
Ezra.
Right. Ezra, Nehemiah, Ezra 7. The king, Artaxerxes, gave to Ezra the necessary things necessary to establish, reestablish the worship in Jerusalem. And let's just read it. And we'll start in verse 11. This is the copy of the letter that that King Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest, the scribe, even a scribe of the words of the commandments of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Artaxerxes, king of kings, unto Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of God of heaven, perfect peace, and at such a time, I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. Now, do you remember who Artaxerxes is?
Is it Ahasuerus?
No. Artaxerxes is Artaxerxes, but he's king of Persia.
I thought it was a good trick question.
No. And to carry the silver and gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. Now, what Ezra is doing is taking the stuff that was in the temple back to its proper place.
Is Artaxerxes the same as Cyrus, or is he later?
No, he's later.
Why was it? I mean, why not only the people, but the things of the tabernacle? Why were they carried into Babylon?
Because they were. Because what's his name? The king showed up, was showing off.
Nebuchadnezzar.
No.
Belteshazzar.
No,
Hezekiah.
Hezekiah showed off. And
that's
so what? And again, Babylon spiritually, Babylon spiritually knew that their god Bel couldn't stand up. Remember, Bel's a 60-cubit high, solid gold, 6-cubit wide stand on a stand. They wouldn't stand up; would fall down. So they needed as a base or the foundation to make that false god stand up, they need the artifacts of the temple of God to give the appearance of that thing standing up for a while, which is what happens in our life.
Why is this guy doing this?
Because God smacked him.
Right. It's sort of like
Cyrus.
Yeah, it's sort of like Pharaoh.
Well, except that he's doing
it.
Yeah,
Sarah. These Persian kings,
Persian,
take Sarah and take this money and get out of here.
Yeah, Persia was a lot better friend to. See, Persia. Remember, in the types we've studied, Persia represents the mystics, the mysticism, the hidden stuff, hidden god stuff. And Persia was always a friend, and they always did the good stuff. And the mystery is that wherever I don't care whether it's In the mystery aspects of Hindu or Shinto or the Zendavesta or Persia or
Islam.
Islam or Judaism, wherever you get to the into the mysticism, into the leading edges of that religion, you reach the seed.
Yeah, these guys were into Zoroastrianism.
Zoroastrianism, which we believe was taught by Daniel.
Which was not idolatry stuff, it was more esoteric.
Right, esoteric thought stuff. Sort of like what I said.
Who are the Persians now?
The Iranians.
Iranian.
Persians are Iran. Iran isn't Arabic. Iran is Persian. And they don't speak Arabic language, they speak Farsi. So they're...
What are Iraqis?
Iraqis are Arabs.
But it's Babylon.
Iraqis, yeah. Okay. Now, we're at this point of starting to get the stuff returned to its proper place in the temples, in type, what's happening is a little bit of the gold is being put in its proper place in the temple, and as it's doing that, Babylon, which is just another word now for us, is this. Babylon, that god of Bel, is starting to fall in us. Every once in a while we're subject, cause, and effect, and every once in a while we believe in it, but fundamentally, cause and effect can no longer stand in us. Even religious cause and effect. We think that we need to do this or that in order for that to happen. That's just religious horse hockey.
Can I ask one? It's like you have the two ends of Israel. You have on the front end, you have Egypt. On the back end, at the end of time, there's Babylon and the whore.
Right.
And I mean, they both get.
They both touch. Judgment. They both touch Israel. They both touch the promise, but they can't. But they cannot be part of the promise. The judgments of Israel, I mean, the judgments on the world, vis-a-vis Egypt, were total. Where the judgments, the final judgments on Babylon, can't take place until the end comes, because it's the perfect. Refiner of the seed, because cause and effect. I mean, how many? You're convinced that if you did that. I mean, and it's not. It's if we pray more, then we would get something, or if we, whatever it is, it's religious cause and effect. You understand? And it's in each of us. So and it's tempting. It's by God in heaven. I mean, as we pull these things back out and place them in their proper order within the temple, that. Can't stand, and Babylon will fall, and that whore, that great whore that has caused all the peoples of all of the nations at all times to drink of her wrath, there's only one thing in the universe that could be, and that's cause and effect.
Why do they call it wrath? Drink of her wrath?
Because it's the
her way of
her wrath. No, it's the cup of. It's the cup that Christ drank to the dregs. It's the cup of it's the cup of jealousy. It's the cup. Hear me. Cause and effect is the fruit of is what causes you to go into adultery and whoredoms.
Okay, I'm having a hard time bringing all that.
So it's a cup that
I don't see.
Okay, if you do something, anything to gain sustenance.
In any dimension
other than speaking it, then you are committing whoredoms, or you're committing adultery, or you're fornicating, according to Hosea. If you do anything in your mind where it's measured that if I do this much effort and get that much response, then you are committing whoredoms. Hosea says that you're committing fornication and adultery. Now, spiritually, I mean, the difference between fornication and adultery is where you are in the timeline, the spiritual timeline. If you're in the adolescent state, or the young man state, or the world state, you can't commit adultery because you're not betrothed. Mm-hmm. You can only commit adultery, the death penalty one, when you've after you've reached the young man state. And again, none of these are optional. There's no ought to's or should's in the Bible.
Ever since reading Melito, I kept trying to think of something that was as devastating as what God did to Egypt. And it wasn't to you just talking just now that I'm thinking about Babylon.
He destroyed it in one day.
Talk about not being optional. We read out of Exodus, the end of the Passover stuff, and it had something in there about you shall be cut off or whatever. And we're thinking about John the Elder coming to Passover. It was just a joke. We just kind of did not deal with it. We let it happen. He got there. He had the worst attack of his life of asthma, and he sat there just totally gone.
He didn't hear a word.
Didn't hear anything, and finally just had to leave. It was just like,
wow,
he was cut off. Even though he was in our midst, he wasn't there at all. So it was just like, when you say it's not optional, it's not optional. What is, is.
Okay, do you all understand then a little bit about why we have to put the things that have been in Babylonian possession, that are covered by the Babylonian garment, we have to put all those artifacts back into their proper place in the temple? Now, for instance, one of the things that people think about is like, yeah, you think you have to get cleaned up before you sacrifice. Right? What happens in the type? The type is, you go through the door and all you see is this humongous altar. You can't even see the labor. You can't even wash until after you've gone through the sacrifice. I mean,
that's incredible.
The idea, all the other stuff that the world does and religion does and our minds do, it's immaterial. It's totally gone. It's as if it never existed. It all takes place outside the linen curtains. It doesn't matter. The only way you can get into the door, get to the door, everything in this book in truth is really about, everything in the New Testament is about from the door to the mercy seat. It's the track through the altar, to the laver, to the candlesticks, to the showbread, to the altar of incense, to the altar, the ark, to the mercy seat. That's what the New Testament is about. It's only about from the door onward. It isn't about all this garbage that people make it and what you want to make it, we want to make it. We want to make it something in the world. Something about our presence here.
We want to make it an Achan garment. Babylonian's garment in the promise and it won't.
Well, it's like it can't, it's not that it shouldn't be, it cannot be. As long as you are in living in cause and effect, you'll never hear anything from what we're going to say from now on. You won't hear. It won't mean anything. You know, that's why Harry had to go through this. Harry's a lot of you do this, but Harry does it worse. Harry had he kept telling me, and oh my God, I got so much to do. I can't do this, I can't do that, because I already got this so much to do. So we made a list. I had to make a list. A 3-page list, single-spaced, of all the stuff he had to do. On his list, half of it was stuff that was my job. So we automatically took that off. The other 48% was stuff like, blow my nose.
Like what?
Walk.
Somebody has to blow his nose.
I didn't think it was funny.
Like a little guy from Bowie that walks around behind, sweeping up.
The guy that carries James Brown's cape.
Yeah.
Anyway. Once that we limited the list to the things that he really had to do, he had to make 3 phone calls and write 1 paragraph.
But it sure seemed important.
And I'm going to get that done, too.
But what he did all this time was he found redemption in the list. The Holy Spirit would come upon him to convict him of sin so that vanity and repent, I mean, the vanity of the world would be seen and the repentance could take place. And instead, he'd pick up his list and say, my God, look how important I am.
You know, one time you talked about being, you know, whatever you do is being holy service. You know, and there's always that coin there. On the one side, we make it holy service to the world. And the other side, it's,
amen. You know,
it's the same, maybe the same thing, but it's totally, one brings peace and the other one brings
strife, anxiety.
Okay.
Now verse 15, chapter 7. We haven't gotten very far. And to carry the silver and gold, remember that, again, the silver and gold has been up here. The redemption and your own personal glory, it's all been up here in this mind. Has to be returned to the cavern, the inner chamber, which is the heart. So instead of worshiping the images of your mind, return those things automatically to the chamber of God, the Holy of Holies, internally. And there's two chambers in the heart. One's the outer, one's the inner. Then the fact that there's gold and silver is fine. It's supposed to be gold and silver in the temple. But you got it in the wrong room.
That's the most outstanding thing you've said in a year.
What's the goal?
Your own glory, your own...
Up here they're serving
the evil one. They're serving the evil one. They're doing the offices of the evil one, which is the flesh, the senses. Now, return them to the heart, they can only serve the function of the bones, which is your own destiny.
Oh, get out of here.
But if you make them, I mean, if you tell people that, they'll kill you. Because they have then no righteousness. They have no rightness. They have no possibility of being right. They have no possibility of even having any of their thoughts about anything to be right. Whether it's religious stuff or not. It's not possible to be right. Unless it's finished. If you think anything, the slightest thing is needed, you've got the artifacts in the wrong place in the temple. It's so simple. Now this is all we've said for 15 years. See why what we are about is so rare? Though Israel be as the sand of the sea and the stars in the skies, only a very small remnant shall be saved. Just think of what we've had to get through and go through in order that you could even understand that simple statement.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you said to me yesterday or whatever it was that we went over this list, you said that if I had put it on the list, I had made it unclean. Now I understand what you're talking about. But because by putting it on the list, I moved it from here to here.
Yeah, and you've taken
it. I could manipulate it.
We'll take thought for it.
Do all kinds of stuff.
I mean, that's what, and do you understand? This is what people do with the whole Word of God. And that's what God's really pissed about. Because they take this and they manipulate it by their own minds. Rather than the abandonment, they manipulate it and try to gain something from it. And it becomes... The word becomes, instead of the word becoming expressive in its own power, it becomes an instrument of torture and slaying. It becomes utilitarian.
Yeah.
So what you were talking about this morning, I walked in and just told a little bit, but it's the same thing that you were talking about. If you think you're doing good for somebody, rather than being poured out.
Yeah, I mean, if we, you know... We think we're doing this for somebody's benefit, then we will. Then it's in the head and not the heart.
It's been wild, you know. You asked me to read that book about the TV preachers, The Agony of Deceit, and it's just stupid. I mean, the preachers are stupid, but I mean, it's even what the people are saying is stupid, because it's all this stuff.
Oh, what they're saying in that book is they're just looking at they're complaining about the Babylon, they're complaining about Pharisees from the eyes of a Sadducee.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about, there's a condensation of the whole Middle Ages or something, you know, where they had all these debates about whether Christ was of the same substance as the Father. And just, I mean, it gets more and more into its own universe or something. It's a big debate about words.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. I mean,
John showed me this, or gave me this article. This thing that his mother has been involved in, and he's been interesting to both John and I for a long time, is Wendell Jones. And he's this guy in East Texas that...
He's an amateur archaeologist, right. You know, and he's a Jewish...
Right,
you know, he's,
Jewish.
He studied in Jerusalem with some rabbi people.
He married a Jewish woman. Anyway, there's this group of Christians now, and he's a dispensationalist to the ultimate. In other words, he's trying to find the Ark of the Covenant and the ashes of the red heifer so that they can reinstitute the temple service in Jerusalem. What used to be real popular with the Christian embassy in Washington, but now he's probably going to be persona grata after that last thing. But anyway, they've taken this dispensationalism to the limit, and they've stopped being Christians.
It's like, you know, you go through the New Testament and say, well, this part is just for the Jews back then, and they went more and more, and this part, that was just for them back then. Well, what they've done is, not everything. Nothing applies to, you know.
Nothing is
to
now.
To them.
Nothing is now. Nothing is to them. Nothing
it's a
is.
Weird deal.
So Jesus Christ did come in the flesh, and he will come in the flesh.
They're left in the middle of the
So they didn't thought themselves out of the kingdom?
Pretty much.
Dispensationalized themselves out of the kingdom.
Yeah, it's weird.
They, so what do they take themselves back? What
are they go. They're going. They're waiting for Messiah.
They're Gentiles.
They're Gentiles that have accepted. And the closest the Gentiles can do is to become the Noachites.
Yeah, the Gentiles that want to be Jews.
They're Noachites. The ones in the book in the book of Acts that, you know, the idea that you would refrain from the seven things of Noah that are in the Noah law.
Eating strangled thing. You know, they abide by these seven things.
Seven laws.
The Gentiles, and I guess they're waiting around for.
For Messiah.
You know, for Messiah to actually show up, like Jesus was just they wasn't clear exactly what they think about Jesus.
Was the cross like a waste of time?
They denied the virgin birth.
They denied the virgin birth. They denied the substance, that Jesus was the substance of God. I mean, it's
that's
just
interesting.
They can't be Jews.
They're not going to get contributions from anybody. Why would from a marketing standpoint?
Some people aren't thinking along those lines. They're thinking along a whole different.
Mark, Ezra 7. Can we get past this first sentence? And to carry the silver and the gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation is in Jerusalem. Now, what I want you to hear now, I want you to now, because you've seen the vanity of the universe, and you, as the king that's usurping, offer freely all your counselors.
Yeah.
Back here, this board of regents, offer freely unto God of Israel, let the silver and the gold return to its proper place. Can you all see that?
And he was really a king, right? So by saying it, it happens.
Yeah. So it is said, so it is done.
He was the big king at the time.
He was the king of kings.
So he had the authority to do that. He was king.
He was king of kings. He was king of the world.
He did that.
He did it. Not only could he did it.
So we can do that.
We've already done it. You just forget a lot. 2,000 years ago.
We did that.
And all the silver and gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon, with the freewill offering of the people and of the priests, offer willingly for the house of their God which is in Jerusalem. Now that's a Now things are getting exciting. Now they're going to rob Babylon. King is giving him authority to rob Babylon. And thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, with their meat offerings and their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that do, after the will of your God. The vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of thy God, those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem. This is a letter from the King of Kings. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. And I, Artaxerxes, the king, do make a decree to all the treasurers which are beyond the river, that whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, shall require of you, it be done speedily. Unto 100 talents of silver, and to 100 measures of wheat, to 100 baths of wine, to 100 baths of oil and salt, without prescribing how much. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of God of heaven, the God of heaven. For why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? Also we certify you that touching any of the priests and Levites, singers, porters, Nethinim, or ministers, I don't know, of this house of God, it shall be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them.
Shall not be lawful.
Ezra. And thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hands, set magistrates and judges which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, all such as know the laws of thy God. Teach ye them and know them not. Teach ye them that know them not, the laws. And whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or to banishment or to confiscation of his goods or to imprisonment. And then Ezra says, hey man, blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as this in the king's heart, to beautify the house of the Lord which is in Jerusalem, and hath extended mercy upon unto me before the king and his counselors. We are the king's mighty princes, and I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me, and I was gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. Now,
we just talked about Bendel and all these other things, and it just is overwhelming thankfulness to God that he had delivered us to this.
Amen.
But there was no way. I mean, it was equally as possible, after my own understanding, to have gone to any one of those other things, to have been led into any one of them, but by God's mercy, bringing us here. I mean, how could it be that he could open our eyes to see these things, that this was not for them, but this is, it's now.
Now, because we have just read this, and because we have read it with understanding, it shall come to pass.
Yeah.
Now, let's go to a really wild one that I bet none of you saw. Tell me what's wild about verse 17.
Oh, it's all the offerings. Bought with the money,
the money from Babylon.
But what else is it?
It's from.
It lists what
bullocks, rams,
the bullocks, rams, lambs are all for the burnt offering. And their meat offerings. What the hell does that mean? Every time you see, when you see burnt offerings, when you see it through the book of Numbers, you will see burnt offerings and their meat offerings.
Is that a peace offering that goes with it?
No.
Or what?
It's a different offering. We haven't said it yet.
Yeah. Oh, no wonder we don't.
Brother bread.
The meat offering. But it always goes with burnt offering. burnt offering and meat offering. And then we have drink offerings, so she doesn't say that either. But the meat offering, the burnt offering, covers everything in the first tablet of the law. Do you understand? There are 613, but we talked about this in bananas last night. There are 613 laws of Moses. Will I pick up my voice if I turn the light off?
You just turn the mic off.
Huh?
The rest of this will be in darkness. No, I'm kidding.
You won't be able to hear.
There are 613 laws of Moses. 248 of the laws are positive commands. That corresponds to the 248 bones in your body. There are 365 negative commands.
Corresponding most of the days of the year.
Corresponding to the days of the year.
Where are these laws listed? These 613 laws?
They're studying them.
Yeah.
So Leviticus. Leviticus numbers, Deuteronomy.
The first books of the Bible.
The Torah, huh?
The Torah. I thought there was a poster in the chart.
I do have a poster.
You do?
Well, I mean, they're like in the Jewish encyclopedia, they list them all out and what they figured them all out to be, and number them.
I've just never seen anything like that.
The 248 positive laws correspond to the, again, to the bones, which we believe means it's a function of, has something to do with offices in the body. The 365 negative laws are the thou shalt nots, have to do with the day of the year. If you can think about it, what it means is that but the 365 can only show, the days, time, can only show forth the negative.
Yeah.
It can only show forth the vanity. There's nothing positive that can be done in the 365. There's a little window in the 365 because there's a slight, tiny little window because it's 365 and a quarter days or whatever. That tiny little window is a space for repentance. Now, the meat offering is not meat, it's grain. It's made of flour, oil, and frankincense are the three things that go into the meat offering. And we're going to go into this in great detail. But bread, corn has to be bruised. And that bread, corn should be translated in Isaiah 28, remember everybody knows about you can't beat cumin and bread corn must be bruised. Well, the bread corn must be bruised is talking about the bread corn for the meal offering or the meat offering. It has to be bruised to the point of being what's called fine flour, that it has to be perfectly even flour. And it has to do with the, if you can see it, that the burnt offering meets all the demands of God. We're going to show you how the meal offering meets all the demands of man. So it's the second of the tables of the law. So by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. As you see him, you shall be like him, for you shall see him as he is. As we see Christ in the meat offering, we shall see that the demands of us to mankind are met. And it will be the most freeing thing that you've ever experienced.
Even more than the peace offering.
More than the peace offering. Peace offering was sustenance. This is duty. Burnt offering, duty to God. Peace offering, sustenance. Meat offering, duty to fellow man. Duty to man. Christ met every bit of it.
Cool.
Now, that's what's set before us to study.
To see.
Does this fit into Pentecost? Because they did this kind of offering.
Yeah.
flour, oil, frankincense, that's the same thing that's in the first rib offering, right?
Well, that's a little more complex than that. But just see it for right now that we've got, again, we've got all kinds of stuff going on outside this little beautiful little white, perfectly white linen thing. It's a white linen thingy. That's what all most of us know about it. And it's got a, it's the walls are high, so we can't see inside of it. And it can't be constructed until after you, until after the law is given. Can't be seen until after the, can't be seen if you're in Egypt. Can't be seen. Has to be seen only after the law is given. And then it can't be approached until you've seen the offering and understand the offering for leprosy. Can't be approached until you've seen and understand the offering for touching the dead body. Cannot be approached if there's any type of the waters, if there's any adultery, if you've gone anywhere else besides God for your sustenance. You can say, you can blithely say, well, Jesus did all that, but you won't understand it and won't do you any good because your mind won't believe it. Then it can't be approached until you see the sin off, the trespass offerings, because all of those sin and trespass is without the camp. And it can't be approached until you see the burnt offering. I mean the sin offering. So now we've got all of the waters of purification and the sin and the trespass offerings. Now we can reach the door. Now, you could have reached the door a long time ago if you would have been in it poor enough. But you were too rich in intelligence, too rich in opinions, too rich in goods. So the preaching, the foolishness of preaching had to break down all of those things. Had to break down all of your opinions and bullshit. And now, as you approach the door, you can walk through the door. And now you can begin to see, because Jesus is the door. Now you begin, as we walk through that door, we can begin to see the process of now these three wonderful offerings that we participate in. The peace offering, the meat offering, and the burnt offering. Now, I pray that we understand it, because as we see it, it shall apprehend us. We don't have to struggle any longer.
Amen. I've been studying about again about this Egyptian, like the pyramid and stuff like that, for some things that we learned about the school. And I'm struck again when you mentioned this thing about what you see as you come up. It's like the altar probably blocked out being able to see anything else past there, and not even the Holy of Holies or anything, because you're coming up those steps like in the temple, you know,
right. Flames and smoke.
Yeah, it's like everything's. Like, stuff back then was designed like that. It's what you saw. And a lot of these people are running around measuring the pyramid and everything. And this book was pointing out that the actual mystical significance of it is the what you actually saw, which was a visual, like a flattening of the top of the pyramid to a whole different shape, really.
Right.
You know, and then you do stuff off that, and all kinds of weird stuff.
Well, I am really hurting, so... If you don't mind, we'll stop here and proceed on later.
Is anyone helping you in this stuff? Is this the same thing with your skull?
This time it's worse. It's everything. It's everything that is can go wrong. My jaw, the skull, the back, the sides, the neck, everything is. And my left side is. It feels like I'm having a heart attack or a stroke or something. I mean, it's just... Anyway, there's riches above riches in here. Please don't be deceived by Babylon anymore. if you believe in the slightest of Babylon, if you believe there's the slightest thing left to do or to see, then your eyes will be holden and you cannot see the mystery. It's finished. Let's just apprehend what he has done. Take a big guy.